This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, good morning and welcome to The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio with Charlie Dobbin, aided and abetted by yours truly, Dean Holland. And we are both, we've never done this before, we're both in the Collingwood studio today.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm great.
Can touch you.
We can shake hands. We can go, Jays. We can do it all.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I got to bed late last night.
Really?
I did. Yeah, I had an engagement last night, and I got home in the fourth inning when the Jays were down. You know, it was 2-0 for the Dodgers. And then the tide turned, and I went to bed very late, but still hauled myself out of bed this morning because you mentioned a few weeks ago you wanted baked goods, so I made some pumpkin scones for us this morning.
You are too much. Thanks, Dean.
You know what I wasn't expecting, which is totally garden related, and that is that there was, I didn't expect ice on my windshield this morning.
So here I am in Collingwood. You know, I live in nice, balmy Prince Edward County normally, but here I am in Collingwood. This is it. Turned on my steering wheel and everything this morning. Heat in the car. It was a chilly morning.
It held me up another four, because I got in the car and I was like, no. You know, and I had to get down here to meet you at the studio, and I thought, no. So I had to be patient. You have to be patient, because it takes a few minutes for the defrost.
Do not drive with frost on your windshield.
I just had to be patient and go, okay, I got to wait. So there we are.
So this is fun. I've never been to this studio.
No. So a little bit of an adventure for us.
It is. Looking out over here on Ontario Street.
Yeah, absolutely. You were taking in some of the historic buildings. We were chatting about that.
And I've been taking in some of the nice fresh air and nature in this area the last couple of days, visiting a good friend who lives in Clarksburg.
Right, which is not very far from us, about 20 minutes.
Exactly.
20 minutes to the west.
Correct. Just south of Thornbury.
South of Thornbury.
I keep thinking it's north, but it's south of Thornbury.
It's like Kitchener-Waterloo, like they're attached. You just kind of go over the hill and you're in Clarksburg.
There's tracks. So there's the, which side
well, there
the
isn't, but there are, yes. I love how you're making up things that are, like, she comes here periodically. Well, there's tracks. Well, there aren't really.
Sure, there are.
The train didn't go through that at that point.
I guess it's a bridge, but either way.
But, you know, there are many, many historic buildings, and I was doing one of the other things that I've done on and off for, my goodness, about 18 years last night. I was giving a seasonal haunted walk. The town of Collingwood hires me to do these every year, and I throw in a lot of historical. So, you know, we were incorporated as a town back in 1858, and our first train came through here on New Year's Day of 1855, and that was really what made the town grow, was because it has what they call a sheltered and a deep bay, which was good for shipping.
And shipbuilding.
So, shipbuilding, which then started after that. And so we went for about a century where there was the shipbuilding. The steel-hulled ship started in about 1900, but prior to that, it was a few decades of wooden-hulled ships.
Galleons.
Yeah. The Watts boat-making factory was a big, and I know members of the Watts family. In fact, we rented a house before we were in the one that that was owned by the Watts family for about 99 years. Ooh. And they were attached to the Watts Boathouse, which is on our spit.
Lots of history here.
I have a book about that. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you a book about the shipbuilding, the Watts family.
Yeah. Mm. Very, very cool. So this is, by the way, The Garden Show.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. It
just
is.
To remind
it's not the
you
shipbuilding show.
And
it is the
else.
Garden Show.
And we would love to talk about what's going on
and
in your garden.
Yes. I digress. Dean is now going to eat his scone, drink his coffee, and let Charlie do the rest of the work. We would love for you to give us a call. Of course, the numbers, if you live in Toronto, 416-360-0740. Toll free anywhere outside Toronto, but still within Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. Please let our operator Duncan Duncan, my goodness, I'm looking. Owen. Owen, no.
Owen's in Toronto.
Owen,
I know. Hello, Owen. Sorry, he's in Toronto. Owen, no. If you are a first-time caller, because then I will give you the garden wings, which are like that. There we go. Okay, give me the garden wings. We want you to call often. We want you to call early. And please, one question per call. Do you have any announcements?
No, nothing. I haven't checked my email in a couple days.
Why can I still hear it?
Well, oops. We're hearing you. Just so you know, good.
Yeah.
Bye, Owen.
Yeah, that's good. So I did bring in my amaryllis this week. I just want you to know. Good. So that, and I felt really relieved that I did because of the frost on the windshield this morning.
Yeah, and I think the temperature, though it might have changed overnight, wasn't actually going to zero. No. But it was going to feel like below zero here in this neighborhood. So, yes, any tender stuff should have been brought in prior to last night. And, of course, amaryllis is a good example, something that is tropical. But if you haven't planted your garlic, have you done that?
Garlic? We haven't planted garlic this year. We were planting tulips. But
did you plant some
tulips? We planted all those last week.
Oh, aren't you clever.
In one day, we got them all done.
All 100 of them. Good
yeah,
for
we
you.
We pushed, and we got them all done. And the squirrels have done a little bit of redecorating already.
Already. You need to get some. Remember, we talked about this last week with Paul, Oliver, you know, squirrels, bulbs, plant skid.
Yeah.
I haven't planted my bulbs or my garlic, but we're all due. It's time. Get those bulbs in the ground.
And we did use your trick. We absolutely did use it, and I believe it did help. We threw all sorts of leaves and stuff over top after we did it, but it's like they watch from the trees.
Well,
and
that's
they go,
why, you know what? You kind of want to put some food out for them, like some corn or peanuts, and then they aren't watching you.
And I forgot to do that. But after the fact, I said to Gail, oh, wait, Charlie told me you can do this. She said, was it the Royal Gardens or the White House or something like that? Then on the far side of the property, they put all these peanuts and things to keep them
occupied. And not seeing what's going on.
And I didn't do that, so I should have.
Whatever.
But it's been minimal, I have to say, because we did really, we did really camouflage it.
Good.
And we wouldn't have thought to do that unless you said so.
Yeah, and my friend, Mary, who I've been staying with, she's been needing to do a little bit of re-landscaping at her place, just adding in some cedars. Actually, a big house is going up behind her.
Yes.
It was an orchard, and it's turning into a house.
Okay.
So we were off. It's called Gray Heron Nursery. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were there looking around, tagging some cedars to be brought and planted at her place. While I was there, though, I think it's going to work out really well. It's a new bird feeder. You never have enough bird feed.
No, you cannot.
So this one is it's mesh. So it's a mesh cylindrical feeder with no tray at the bottom. So it's just strictly a mesh feeder with a rain awning on the top, and you know, you hang it outside. And what I was thinking about is last week Paul brought us peanuts that were not in shells.
Yes.
And my blue jays are really confused. They just are. They go. They don't know what to do with them. They're like, "Where's the shell?"
And is this feeder going to fix the problem?
Well, the chickadees and the other little buddies, they're going to be able to get them.
Oh, I see.
Because they'll hang on that little cage. Because I figure blue jays are pretty limited with their imagination.
Yep.
They're great eaters in the shell.
Yeah.
And they'll do sunflower
as
well.
It does sound very much like the feeder we talked about last week that I sent you the picture of. Because I was looking for one as well with no base. More of a finch feeder.
But so you're looking for the really tiny holes. Yeah. And this one is not. This one will be fine with the unshelled peanuts.
Because certain birds are quite happy to just latch onto the side. They don't need a perch.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, like finches are a good example. Finches. And chickadees will do the same. Woodpeckers, of course.
Okie dokie.
So, yeah.
Well, you know what? We have, I'm looking at the clock on the wall, and we are at, we should probably go to break. We do have some callers on the line, but don't be shy. Give us a call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. And you know what? We will be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Are you a full-blown bird nerd or just starting to notice feathered visitors in your fall garden? Either way, Urban Nature Store has everything you need to turn your yard into a bird-watching haven this autumn. Squirrel-proof feeders, ultra-fresh, no-mess bird seed, binoculars so clear you'll catch every flutter. With 9 Ontario stores and online shopping at urbannaturestore.ca, you're just one chirp away from your next backyard adventure. Urban Nature Store, Canada's fall birding headquarters.
The British are coming to One TV.
No, it's not bucket, it's bouquet. I wish to place a very important order.
Laughter is on the menu every Monday through Thursday at 7 on Keeping Up Appearances and As Time Goes By. Emmerdale airs at 7:30. British police drama is served weekdays at 6 on Heartbeat. And Doc Martin moves to 5 and 8 p.m.
Oh, well, goodness gracious, maybe there's a link.
Visit onetv.ca and contact your service provider to order. One TV has the ones to watch this fall.
Got PC Optimum points? Claire does, and shops the bonus redemption event at Shoppers Drug Mart to get more free stuff for her points.
If I redeem 50,000 points, I'll get $65 off. That's an extra $15 in value. I see a treat in my future.
Awesome, Claire. The bonus redemption event runs October 24th to 29th, in-store and online. Don't miss this chance to get more free stuff for your points, only at Shoppers Drug Mart. Proudly Canadian-owned and operated. Restrictions apply.
Prepare your home for the cozy nights ahead with Pollock's Carpet Market, the trusted name in flooring since 1975. Julio, Ron, and Paul will help you select the perfect new carpet, hardwood, and vinyl to refresh any room in your house. Come to Pollock's for the best quality and prices on flooring and the biggest deals on Roncesvalles. See it, feel it, believe it inside the newly renovated showroom at Pollock's Carpet Market.
Anthony Quinn, president of the Canadian Association of Retired Persons.
Every day we hear from Canadians struggling to find a doctor, waiting months for a specialist, worrying about long-term care. At CARP, we're fighting for change. We want better home care, more personal support workers, and an end to hallway medicine. If you believe healthcare shouldn't decline as you age, join us. It only takes 2 minutes and $20 to make a difference. Visit carp.ca and join the movement today.
Submerge yourself in the mystery and the mastery of one of Canada's most evocative artists. The Art Gallery of Ontario presents David Blackwood, Myth and Legend. Explore a sweeping tribute to Blackwood's extraordinary printmaking, where sea, ice, and story capture Newfoundland and Atlantic Canada with quiet power and unforgettable beauty. Visit this must-see exhibition at the Art Gallery of Ontario today. Learn more at ago.ca.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, we are back here on The Garden Show. And Charlie, I do have one question for you that Gail and I were for a walk this past week, mm-hmm. and we were a bit surprised because we passed somebody's flower bed, mm-hmm. and they had a number of petunias that were still in full bloom. Oh. And we were surprised by this. Should we not have been? Like the Gail looks, she said, wow. Like here we, this was just this past, like 3-4 days ago.
Right, but you hadn't had a real frost.
No.
You had cool nights,
yeah.
but not enough. I bet you if you go back and look at those same petunias today,
yeah.
they'll be mush
right.
on the ground.
But that's a really good longevity for them to go into October.
Yeah, some annuals are a little tougher than others, and petunias, okay. geraniums are a good example mm-hmm. as well. And then there's others that just collapse
yes.
at the first sign of a tiny bit. Coleus is a one that goes down really,
really quick,
on, okay. on a cool night. So they've all got their different little resilience and hardiness and
okay.
that sort of thing.
Fabulous. Well, we have a couple of callers on the line, but again, don't be shy. I know what's happened. You were all up late watching the Blue Jays game last night, and so you're still just
still
stretching.
Adrenaline.
Yeah, 11-4.
Another Woo-hoo! One tonight.
Yeah.
It was so funny. I digress for one quick instant about the Jays, because I wasn't watching the game,
yeah.
but this morning on a different radio station, they've got, like, people are, this one person, he's flown in from Australia.
Wow.
And they had him on the radio. And somebody else who is a season ticket holder through a kind of a long story, he was there last night with his dad, and they'll be there again tonight in their regular seats. And they're just sparkling.
Yeah,
you can
neat.
Just hear the sparkle in their
so
voices.
Neat. Yeah, there's so much electricity.
It's pretty cute.
Okay, let's go to our first caller. We have Mary on the line from Toronto. Welcome mm-hmm. to The Garden Show, Mary.
Hi, good morning. I wanted morning. To ask, good morning. Is it too late to put grass in and over the old grass?
No, not really. So the way it works with grass seed, and that's what kind of one of the reasons we love doing any lawn repair at this time of year, is that if it's warm enough and there's enough moisture, the grass seed will grow. So the seeds will germinate and it'll start to grow. If it just stays too chilly in your hood from now until next spring, the grass seed will just sit there and wait. Mm. And it will grow when the conditions are right. Unless you're on a very severe slope and then the grass seed will wash away in rain and snow, nothing wrong with top dressing. Remember, you want to rake out dead grass. You want to add some fresh topsoil or triple mix, some kind of, you know, some kind of a media. You're going to go out there with your grass seed to patch thin areas or areas where it's really dead. Pretend you're feeding chickens. It's, you know, broadcast the seed. Mm-hmm. Little rake, nice soft rake. So you've got a tiny bit of soil over the seed. And then once it rains, the seed will grow, or next spring, the seed will grow. So no, not too late.
Okay, so yeah, I didn't know they would hibernate that well. Yeah, thanks very much for the call there, Mary. Thank you, yeah. So not too late to put down the grass seed. So no, it'll basically hibernate over the winter.
Yeah, stays dormant, really. So, but remember, too, that we love fall for planting and transplanting because mm-hmm. the soil is much warmer than it will be in March or April when it's, you know, thawing. So this, because of the warmth in the soil, you may see seed germination, grass seed mm-hmm. germination, today, even though the temperature outside, it might be 2 or 3 degrees, but the soil is very warm. And so that's why transplanting and planting is so effective and in the fall, and, you know, it's just easy to do.
Mm-hmm. And it seems to me, if I remember properly, we haven't talked about lawn fertilizer for a while, but you like fall, the stuff that you put down now. That's your favorite, right? So it makes a slow release in the spring.
That's right. And it starts to release, yeah, exactly, again, based on conditions. So it's the only lawn fertilizer we use is the fall or winterizer fertilizer. Very important. Best thing you can do for your lawn.
Okay.
Gives it a nice sort of ready to go for the winter. We haven't done it yet. We won't do it till probably November. Mm-hmm. So you're right. Mostly it'll be there feeding in the spring. But it just gives the lawn a real good start in the spring.
Okay.
Excellent for resilience. And I should mention, I've been whining all summer for months now about lack of rain. We've actually had some rain in the county.
Good.
Yes, we've actually broken all records. From the last. I have a here from Elliot because he tracks it.
Yesterday was a heavy, heavy day of rain here in our area. Mm-hmm. So it would rain throughout the day. Caught a rainbow, which was really nice, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But yeah, we had a substantial amount of rain yesterday. But we have typically had more rain than you.
Yes, at least double, if not more. But we've actually had about 65 millimeters at my house in the last week.
Great.
Over those few days. So that's amazing. Amazing.
Wonderful.
We haven't seen that kind of rain in ages. So
hopefully
that'll help with all the dry wells. A lot of people with no water out where I live in the county and north of the county. So hopefully that'll help with the water table and bring it up.
Okay, sweet. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have Linda on the line. And she is calling from Orangeville. Welcome to the Garden Show, Linda.
Thank you. How are you?
Morning.
Good morning. Excellent. What do you got for Charlie there, Linda?
Okay, we had a bumper crop of Cortland apples. A lot of them have fallen on the ground. Should I rake them up or should I just leave them on the ground?
Are they on a lawn?
Yes.
Okay, so what you should do is remove them from the lawn if you can. You could rake them into your gardens or rake them into your compost, but anything sitting on the lawn, anything of any size, will kill the lawn beneath. That includes leaves, right? Big maple leaves will kill the lawn if they sit on your lawn.
Okay. And I'm sliding right by Orangeville in about 2 hours today, okay? So I'm coming by with a bushel basket, Linda, and I'll take as many Cortlands as you can give me.
Applesauce.
Well, you can just come and pick them right off the tree because we just had a bumper crop.
Wow, That's great. Yeah, funny.
My freezer is full of apples for apple pie, so I'm up to my head with apples.
Nice. That's good to know. Well, I mean, I wonder, the local food bank will often take, when we have an excess harvest, local food banks will often happily take, maybe give them a call, see if they can send somebody out to do some picking for you and take them into the food bank. Because, you know, that's very classic. If you can't eat it all, somebody.
Sometimes they're not the nicest looking apples, but I'm in the process of making apple jelly.
Yeah. For baking, they're perfect, I bet. Or applesauce, apple crumble, any apple baked goods. Why not? Well, it's just, if you wanted to take that, you know, minute to give the food bank a quick call, I would. And see, like, you don't have to pick them, I'm sure. Maybe they can send somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I'm not really in Orangeville. I'm west of Orangeville in a township called East Garifraxa.
Gotcha. Cool. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I know where you are.
All right.
Indeed. Okay.
Either way,
well, you know
good
what?
Luck.
A bumper crop is a good problem to have.
No kidding.
It is. Okay, thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Linda.
That, okay, just, all right.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that's very a sort of nice story from a number of years ago near Winnipeg. A couple planted their vegetable garden, but had a bumper crop of potatoes, way more potatoes than they could use. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what are we going to do with all these potatoes? So they loaded all the potatoes into their pickup truck and took them to the food bank. And the food bank was thrilled and was like, sure, we'll definitely be able to, you know, because they're fresh. Yes. They're just right out of the ground. Perishable goods, you got to, you know, deliver them quickly. Uh-huh. And from that point forward, it started a program that's called Plant a Row, Grow a Row. Plant a Row, Grow a Row. So the idea is plant extra, to like grow extra for your local food bank.
That's great. And if everybody did that.
Yeah.
Then you have that little bit. You
for
have a lot.
Term, yeah, it's all seasonal, right? It's just what you know, what you've got at that time. But yeah, that this sort of program spread from that idea because it worked out. It was spontaneous, but it was quite successful.
Yeah, wonderful. Listen, here are the numbers. We're about to jump onto another break. Toronto number 416-360-0740. Toll free anywhere else in the province of Ontario 1-866-740-4740. We'll be right back with much more on the Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
We are back here on The Garden Show on this, what is it, the 20...
Here, I'm checking, 25.
25th of October. This is the final weekend of October. Of course, because Halloween hits on a Friday. Next weekend, this time, it'll be November.
And you've been doing some kind of haunted walks, historical things?
Yeah, I started doing them, well, being in the entertainment business and having come to town here back in 03 to run the theater. When I was no longer doing that, I guess about a decade and a half or so ago, I think a little longer, I was approached by the town. They gave me a whole bunch of these stories. They said, can you put this into a tour? Because they had gained popularity. So we started doing them a number of years ago. You know, and it comes in waves. I did them for a few years, then we stopped. And then, you know, a few years later, they get in touch. So this is about my third season again where the town hires me. And they always sell it really quickly. And so we had a wonderful walk about, I think, about 30 or 40 people last night. We walked around. In the dark. Yeah, we start at 7. And we walk around the downtown core, typically, is where most of the haunted stories are about. And, and I love to talk about the historical significance, and I always weave history into the building and architectural styles and the years that the houses were built and stuff like that. That's because great. I love that. So I've got two more next week leading up to Halloween. Yeah.
Well, I'm hoping I get some trick-or-treaters at my house. It's often kind of slim pickings.
Yeah, well, is it because of how far out you are?
Yeah, exactly. Those houses that are far apart make a difference. Plus, there's not a lot of kids in my neighborhood.
Right.
But nevertheless, we'll keep our fingers crossed that the weather is good for them when they do go out.
Yeah. We should be stopping by.
Yeah, there we go. To Linda.
Linda's place. Get a bunch of apples. And we can like make candy apples. There we go. We're all set.
Yes.
They'll be running to our place.
Love it.
Run into our place. Okay, folks, we got lots of room on the line. Okay, so don't be shy. Give us a call. Anything that's on your brain, transplanting, indoor, maybe you got a bug problem, maybe you want to know when to bring something in or plant something. You know what? If it's the harder the question, the more amusing it is for me, quite frankly, as I love to see Charlie have to really
the gears,
that's it, the gears turning, okay? And there they are. The phone starts now. Here we go. Let's go to our next caller. We have Camille on the line from Scarborough. Welcome to the Garden Show, Camille.
Thank you. Because of the drought last year, I didn't water the backyard. I mean, I started and then I could just give up. It was too much because I was trying to keep the front nice too. So I'm at the point now where it is growing back. It's
the lawn. You're talking about a lawn, right?
Yeah, my lawn.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And it is growing back. You know, the rain and the cooler weather, like it is doing well. I was surprised to see it come back at all, considering what it looked like.
However,
I'm now about to put, you know, in November, the fall fertilizer on it. So I wasn't sure what to do. So I called Scott. No, they're down in Alabama. And they said, I didn't get a clear answer. I don't think he really knew, but he was trying his best to help me. So my question is, is it okay to put winterizer on this lawn that I would say is probably 65% back? Or should I wait until spring and put a spring fertilizer on?
Well, there is no right or wrong answer to that. That is going to be a bit of a philosophical question. If it was my lawn, yes, fall fertilizer. Now, would you do it today? You want to do it when the grass is dry? Yeah. Also, remember, with our lawns, and it's great to hear you've got like a 65% grow back, because that's what lawns do. They're very resilient, assuming that the soil is good, the grass is there. It'll just go dormant when it's drought, when it's a droughty situation, all crispy and yellow, and you're sure it's dead. And then all of a sudden, a little bit of rain, a little dew, moisture, boom, it's all green again. Putting now, the fall fertilizer, when I put it on, I do it after my last mow. When do I do my last mow is dependent on the weather, but the last mow is your short mow. So all season, we mow our lawns at roughly a height of 3 inches. So the mower blades are at 3 inches. The final mow, we drop the blades down, so we're about 2 inches. So that final short mow, then put on your fertilizer and then wash everything off and put it away and you're good till next spring. If you wait till next spring, you'll get a real boom of growth once the soil warms up, but it'll look kind of sparse in the early spring. Put it on now, you won't have that sparseness. It should look great right from the beginning.
Well, thank you. I got a definite answer. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Yeah, thanks very much for the call there, Camille.
Well, just a little bit educational. Mm-hmm. The reason why fall fertilizer, I believe, is so important, there are three big nutrients, what we call macronutrients, in any fertilizer. Okay. So you always see three numbers. Right?
Nitrogen's one, yes.
Yep, the first one is nitrogen.
Phosphorus?
Second one is phosphorus.
And then I can't remember the third.
Third one is potassium.
Potassium.
So NPK. K is potassium. It's the K in the fall fertilizer, or the potassium, that helps with all-round vigor for any plant, and in the case of a lawn fertilizer, for the lawn plants, the grasses. So we, you'll always see a fall fertilizer. It tends to be fairly low nitrogen.
Yep.
You're not trying to push a lot of green growth, but you are trying to push all-round health, vigor, hardiness, call it what you will, resilience with the potassium.
Okay.
Whereas in spring, your fertilizer is going to be a big nitrogen and virtually no K, like virtually no potassium.
Okay.
So very different numbers used at different times of year. But that, I like the balance in a fall fertilizer, and I like that encouraging that all-round vigor.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Now, I've learned from you, I love the idea of a fall fertilizer, that it's all there. What I like about it mentally is that it's there and ready to go.
Yeah.
And so when, because I've laid it down in the winter and I know it's under there, then I know that by the time that the spring comes, whenever the weather's ready, it's just going to start to do what it needs to do. And I love that.
That's right. And some people love a spring fertilizer because they just get so much fast growth. But of course, you need to retire so you can stay home and mow your lawn every 48 hours when you put on a spring fertilizer. It grows so fast.
Right. Okay. The planning. My goodness, the planning starts now. Oh, we have a first-time caller on the line.
Sweet.
We have Doreen. Doreen is calling from Etobicoke. How are you, Doreen?
I'm fine. I have a tip for you.
Okay.
Hold on 1 second.
First, I want to give you your garden wings, okay?
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
There you are. Thanks for being a first-time caller. And now we will take the tip for keeping squirrels away.
Yes. I had a problem with my hanging baskets and my planters and that, and also the flower beds. And they were planting their peanuts and everything. So I was told to put down blood meal. Mm-hmm. And I put it in the planters and the hanging baskets and the flower beds, and even when I was planting bulbs, and they don't go near it. And blood meal is also a fertilizer.
Yes, it is. It's from the abattoirs. It's actually made from sanitized blood, and it is full of nitrogen, so that's the fertilizer part of it. And it's funny how squirrels probably have never met a cow, but they know that smell is from an animal that's bigger than them, and they're scared. They just don't go near it.
Yeah.
So, good idea.
And they don't go near. I solved my problem because they were spreading from my hanging baskets, dirt all over, you know, and the plants, they were breaking them too.
For sure. No, it's a really good idea. But the two things about blood meal. One is it is a fertilizer, so you could over-fertilize by putting too much. And number two, it does neutralize with the rain and the watering. So the effectiveness, it becomes less effective as it neutralizes, so you have to add more. So it can be a little bit tricky in terms of what you're doing with that blood meal, but as long as you're having good success, it's great.
I have good results from it, so I just thought I'd tell you about it.
Thanks for sharing. Yep. Yeah.
Thank you very much for that.
All right.
Okay, thank you. We'll jump right to our next caller. We have Suzanne on the line from Hamilton. Welcome to the Garden Show, Suzanne.
Thank you. Hi.
Good morning.
Question. Good morning. Question is, I have not fertilized my lawn for the fall, and I need to seed my grass. I thought it was too late to seed my grass. Can you do both now?
I wouldn't do both now. I would do seeding first, like today or tomorrow.
And I would
wait on the fertilizer. Wait another 10 days, 2 weeks. Wait until, like, there's no rush on the fertilizer. You can leave that right up until November. It's, middle of November, weather being your limiting factor. It just gets too cold to be out there at some point.
Okay.
But yeah, I would get the seeds out. If you want to get some seeds out, I'd get them out sooner than later, fertilize a couple of weeks later.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Suzanne. Thanks. I was just going through my emails after that last call because I received an email this week when I was filling in on the Oasis from Oksana. And she said she was visiting her daughter in Sudbury. And,
it's cold there.
And she picked up the frustration of squirrels digging up the bulbs. And she heard the suggestion that you try chopped up banana peels. And she has actually had some success with this. For some reason, she says they don't. It worked for her. Or she feels it worked. She says for some reason they don't like the banana smell. And as an added bonus, of course, they decompose and they fertilize. But she had success with that. And she heard it somewhere.
Okay, so in terms of that being a, like that needing an answer. So banana peels, you're right, 100% organic, will decompose, actually will add great nutrients to the soil. Not to mention a lot of potassium, right? We're talking about potassium. So will it repel squirrels? It probably depends who your squirrels are.
Yeah.
See, Toronto squirrels are not your average squirrels. They are so inbred, they are just wacko.
Right. Yeah, right. Wacko squirrel. It's actually a variety. They're the wacko squirrels.
Special urban species of wacko squirrel. So they just don't react the way you would regular squirrels might. But I'm not sure why chopped up banana peels would repel them.
No, I was surprised by that too.
It would smell sweet. It would start to ferment. Maybe the alcoholic aspect of would make them kind of question.
I mean, I throw them in my composter, but I don't put them in the garden. I mean, don't put them directly in the gardens. So I put them in the composter.
Well, they don't look very pretty directly in just on the surface. I know people that have done that around roses. I think I told you this story once. A woman, I went to her house to see a hybrid tea rose that was probably 20 feet tall. Mm-hmm. Or not as tall as 20. Say, 5 or so meters tall with blooming up there. 15 feet above ground, a rose that she gave her banana peel to every morning after she finished.
Right. I remember you talking about that.
I was like, okay.
Huh.
How do you sniff a rose that's 15 feet up? I don't know. Like, why do you want a
why
rose
do you want
to be 15
then
feet
Then she's
tall?
Going to the chiropractor because of her neck, right? Exactly. You just know that this is a problem.
Yeah, with a ladder, you know, scaffold beside this rose so she can get up there and enjoy it. But it was like, well, great. I mean, it doesn't hurt. Never hurts to get organic matter out in the garden, but sometimes the results aren't exactly what we wanted.
Wow. Okay, well, our next caller is from arguably the pumpkin capital of Ontario, because I know that, of course, they have a pumpkin festival every year. Waterford, Ontario. We're going to Maria. Welcome to the Garden Show, Maria.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Hi. Morning. You have pumpkins everywhere. I know you do.
I know there are, not on my own property, but there are pumpkins all over the place. We just went to Pumpkin Fest last weekend and it was great.
It's huge. I grew up in the Hamilton area and I remember sailing through there around this time of year and I was just gobsmacked by all the pumpkins. Yeah, it's an annual thing that's been going on for decades in Waterford.
But with the drought this year, is this quantity of pumpkins the same as normal?
Yeah, they still seem to be like full, like lots, as many pumpkins as ever.
And then there's the garden. Pumpkin baked goods.
Yeah. Well, I brought in pumpkin scones this morning.
Scones. I'm looking at these scones. I just think I probably shouldn't eat on air.
Maybe not. No. You're going to have them. You can take them with you after.
Maria, go ahead.
Yeah, what do you got there, Maria? What's your question?
Well, okay, for the last two summers, we've had these Japanese beetles show up in the summer, and I have two sand cherry trees out front, and they've just eaten them all up, and they're awful. They're all over the place, so... Mm-hmm. I was told that they come from grubs in the ground, so I'm not sure if that's right or exactly what
it
we
is.
Could do
nope,
to get
that's
rid of
true.
Them. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? There's not a lot you can do to actually get rid of them. They are here. Yes. Japanese beetles arrived here in North America a number of years ago in southern United States, and as global warming has made our winters less intense and our summers so warm, those Japanese beetles have slowly but surely been invading up into Canada. So I think I saw my first Japanese beetle about 20 years ago in Newmarket. And since then, of course, they're all throughout Southern Ontario. Mm-hmm. What can you do? Well, you're right. A baby Japanese beetle, or any, you know, any of those beetles that eat things like June beetles, which can also be very annoying, come from a grub, a very ugly little wormy thing. It's white. It's got a brown head. It when you look at them, they're in the shape of the letter C. They are underground right now as we speak, but with the weather cooling off, they are heading down into the soil below the frost line. So whether you can still kill grubs now is going to depend on whether they're, you know, shallow enough in the soil, or if you have to not, like it's too late. But there are products out there. One is called Grub Be Gone, I think, made by Scotts. There are nematodes that are out there that follow all the instructions. Like if you see damage in your lawn, usually that's the giveaway. You start seeing some dead patches in your lawn and you tug on the dead grass and there's no roots. The roots have been eaten away. So you know you've got grubs there and you can certainly treat there because they'll be back. Those grubs will come back up next spring. They'll be bigger. They'll be hungry. And every raccoon and skunk and starling for miles around is going to be digging up your lawn.
Well, and that's
them.
The other big problem is that then they do the
destruction.
Right, yeah, this, and skunks too. Yeah. They will smell them and they dig up everything.
Yeah, they do. And of course, and like Maria's saying, you know, her purple sand chariot's just being devastated. They do major damage to roses. They eat all parts of so many plants. Yeah, there's no picking. All you can do is when you see them, and they're very obvious, you know, next June or July, you're going to start seeing them. Get that little empty tuna fish can, put a little water in it, drop of oil, and just knock those beetles into that can. You might need something bigger than a tuna fish can. Sometimes we use a big pail because there's so many of them out there. And you just drown them. It's one beetle at a time.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you have nothing better to do,
exactly.
Right, Maria?
And well,
don't
I am
get
tired.
Don't get a Japanese beetle trap, because otherwise you'll get everybody else's beetles on your property.
Right. I was going to make the joke. If you have a Japanese beetle trap, you put it a block away.
That's right.
Right. You put it up on
somebody you don't like.
Yeah, because that's where they go. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Or a schoolyard, like, you know, it's the old parking lot. If you've got something like that, hang it there, but you have to empty it because they work really well. You just don't want to attract them to your property.
Okay.
All right.
Good luck,
okay.
Sori.
And thanks for doing the Pumpkin Festival, Maria.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Have
bye
a
bye
great
now.
Day.
You too. Okay, our number to call, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
We are back here on The Garden Show. Before we go to our next caller, we did have somebody that called in, left a question,
Ross.
With Owen. Yeah, yes. So you take it away, Charlie.
Right, so Ross, I guess, asked Owen, and Owen put it up on the screen here. Thank you, Owen. He wanted to know about splitting his, refers to it as white culver now, or must I leave it spring? Well, of course, I can't tell you when I last grew white culver. So that's a common name. Culver's root is a common name for veronicastrum, in this case, virginiacum, or culver's root. And yes, indeed, it can be certainly late fall or early spring propagate by softwood cuttings in the early spring, or split, like easily propagated by root division in late fall or early spring. So go ahead, Ross, propagate at your convenience. Remember, you are the master of the garden. Don't let the garden boss you around. If it's easier for you in the spring or it's easier for you in the fall, either one works.
I'm going to remember that. I'm going to take that a good authority. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We have another Mary, also from Toronto. Welcome to The Garden Show, Mary.
Oh, good morning to you both, and go Jays, go!
Yeah,
no kidding.
Yes, it's a 2-point problem. Both of them I consider weeds, and I know, I know, Charlie, you love clover, and I called before. The birds and the bees hate the clover that I when I seeded my lawn with the most expensive Scots grass seed, I got nothing but clover. It's almost all over my lawn. I can count the, you know, blades of grass. But 3 years ago in Canadian Tire, there was this tiny strawberry plant. I have the regular strawberry that looked really cute with a, one strawberry. And I thought, oh, well, nothing happened. It wasn't anything. So I just planted the pot, the 4-inch pot, in my garden. Like, it migrated. I hired my nephew, my friend's nephew. He spent all his time on the phone instead of weeding it.
Of course. It's, young people nowadays.
It's gone through half. It's teeny leaves. It's as bad as the clover. Now, I believe I have Killex. I'm not sure if I have to dilute it. I bought it a year ago, but I never got around to using it to kill the clover and this
strawberry.
I won't say strawberry plant, okay? It's radio. So I don't know if I should put it down, like winter's coming, if I should put it down now. I don't care if I have nothing but soil. That's how angry I am. Or should I wait till spring?
All right, so where did you get Killex? Was that like online you sent away for it, or were you, did you buy it down the States? Where did you get it?
A friend of mine brought it back from the States.
Right, okay. So,
and it, I don't know how they got across the border, but they did.
Oh, because they don't, it's fine. So just so you know, completely illegal here in Ontario, so what I'm going to tell you is not to be repeated but anywhere, at any time. So
I'd only use it
yeah, you know we're on the radio, right?
So cover your ears, okay, everybody? So Killex is 2,4-D. It was originally designed, or it became a hugely popular product used for killing weeds in lawns. So it does not, Killex does not kill grass plants, but it will kill broad-leaved plants. So what, it is effective on young plants. So if I were you, I'd hold on to the Killex. Don't leave it out in the garage. You don't want it to freeze in the winter. Put it in your basement in the spring, in the early spring. So that might be April, it might be May, might be June, depending on the spring. Follow the instructions on the Killex and spray this stuff on the things that are making you angry, and know that it will not kill grass. It will kill broadleaf plants. There you go.
Okay, there we go. Let's go to our next caller. We have Camille on the line from Scarborough. Welcome to the Garden Show, Camille.
Oh, hi, Jay. Thank you.
Yes.
I have a problem with crabgrass. And I have a part on my boulevard towards the sidewalk, towards the road, that every year goes, everything else is perfectly green around it, but this one goes like it's dying.
Purple. Yep.
Oh, it comes back every year. And it also, I face south. So there's also that, the south, exposure. And there's also a ginkgo biloba tree that seems to be raising the soil. And so that makes that even more accentuated, the angle or whatever you call it towards the sun.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So should I, I mean, the only thing on that spot growing is the crabgrass. So what I'm wondering is, rather than pull it out, because it's just too much work for me, what can I do to kill the crabgrass?
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure it's not Japanese beetles, because I don't have anything on my property that even remotely. I took them all, everything out. Everything I did, took all my roses out. No, I understand.
Crabgrass is can be a real issue, but for your purposes, you could probably quite easily or reasonably easily control the crabgrass. So here's how it works. Crabgrass is an annual plant. It is purple right now or brown on your lawn. It's lying flat or prostrate on the ground. Yep. If you look closely, you'll see that on the long ends of those little branches or stems, there were seeds, and they have gone poof off of the plants. So the crabgrass is dying and will die, but it has dropped thousands and thousands of seeds this fall right there in that area. So what can you do? Well, next spring, the mother plant is going to be dust. You don't need to worry about her. She's gone after the winter. But all those little seeds will start to grow when spring really starts, when summer starts, when the soil warms up and rain falls. What I would do, like, it's a boulevard area, and it's like with this, you mentioned that the ginkgo seems to be raising the soil. Well, what's going on there is the ginkgo roots are growing near the surface and causing humps and bumps in that lawn area. Why not just give up on a lawn in that area? Make that a bit of a garden beneath the ginkgo. So in the spring, just whatever, you know, take out whatever debris is there, mix it all up, add some more soil. You're going to need to add some supplemental triple mix or whatever, and plant in some nice little simple, maybe thyme or something under there. And don't worry about it. And then mulch it. And that should stop all those crabgrass seeds from growing. And meanwhile, the mother plants are all dead. So, yeah, I mean, just sort of do these steps to eliminate the opportunity for the crabgrass to grow, and then you're done. And it can't be that big of an area. So maybe either you or somebody can help you. Thanks.
Well, is there any alternative?
To try and grow grass there? Yes, pull the crabgrass in the spring or early in the spring or now. Get out the top dressing, get out the overseeding, you know, get some fresh, proper grasses, turf grasses growing, which will outcompete the crabgrass. You know, you got to get something growing in there, and the crabgrass will dominate if you let it. So you've got to get something else in there.
Okay, thanks very much for the call, Camille. We just have to run to our next break. We'll be right back with much more on The Garden Show.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
We are back here on The Garden Show, and we're going to go right to our next caller. We have Barb in Ayton. Welcome to The Garden Show, Barb.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was just wondering, I wanted to start some white gora plants, and somebody said that you could slide off these buds or whatever they are off the stem. Now, I've done that, but now what do you do with them? Like, some are brown and some are a bit greenish. I'm assuming the greenish ones are not really, still have to be dried out.
That's right. So you have some gora on your property now? Is that what's going on? And you just want to propagate? Yeah, not hard to do. If you still have some gora outside, you are looking for the brown seeds, and that is easy. Exactly. Like, piece of paper, rub your hands along the stems where the seeds have collected. Toss out the green. They're not going to grow. Keep the brown. Just dry them down. Keep them in an envelope. And my co-host is being silly. Yeah, it's no plastic. We never keep seeds in plastic. Always keep them in just a plain paper envelope, dark and dry. That's it, dark and dry. And then next spring, you can scatter to plant, or you can start indoors, whatever works better for you.
Okay, but you wouldn't plant them now.
No. Oh, I see what you mean. Because gora is not hardy enough. That's why you're propagating, is because your gora probably won't survive the winter. It's a tender perennial.
Yeah. Like, sometimes it grows and sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. But, like, you don't peel any more off of that, the brown ones, eh?
Sure. Collect all the seeds you want.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call there, Barb. We have to jump right to our next caller, Linda in Mississauga. Welcome to The Garden Show, Linda.
Oh, thank you. Hello. I have a question about my pear tree, Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
Please don't tell me you have a partridge in it. That's not the problem, I hope.
Reinvent that.
It sure would. Just like Dean. So cute.
It has little orange blemishes on it, like measles. Oh, and I had an arborist come out, and he recommended some expensive sprays for next spring. And I just wondered if you had a less costly remedy to bring it back to life. Excuse me. Didn't produce any pears. They said it was a disease.
Right. So is it a big old pear tree, or is it something you can spray yourself?
Yeah, huge. I've had it for 4 years.
Right. So that's why it's expensive, because an arborist has to charge for their time, and they can do a thorough spray on a big tree much easier than you. But if you could spray... which maybe you could. I mean, that's huge to spray. But what those little orange pimples look like is it's a rust on pear. Pear trees are very susceptible to rust diseases. They are fungal diseases. They happen because the environment is conducive to the growth of the spores, of the fungus. So, you know, moisture levels, temperatures, et cetera, et cetera. best thing you can do is get an early dormant spray on your pear tree. All fruit trees benefit from a dormant spray in the spring when the trees are dormant. So that is something that we look at before the leaves emerge, when there's no flowers. It's whatever, March maybe, on a nice sunny day above zero, we spray lime sulfur and oil, horticultural oil mixed together with water all over our dormant fruit trees, and we avoid things like rust disease later in the summer.
Okay, thank you very much for the call, Linda. I do, or we're trying, we've got two more callers we're trying to get in.
To the end here.
And we've got Colleen, who is a first time caller from Owen Sound. Welcome to the Garden Show, Colleen.
Thank you for taking my call. I have a.
And there, sorry, I just wanted to give you your first time caller, wings, garden wings. There
welcome.
You are, my dear.
Welcome to the show. Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Colleen. Just wanted to give you your garden wings there. You go ahead.
Oh, thank you. I'm calling about my Christmas cactus. It's about 8 years old, and this summer I decided to put it outside, and I brought it in once the temperature started to get cool. It's still green, but the leaves are falling off.
No buds on it?
Nope, there's nothing.
That's weird. Is it in a pot with drainage holes?
Yes.
And did you water it, or is it really wet right now? The soil?
No, I don't think so. It's a little damp, but I mean, it's not saturated or anything.
So, you know what? Okay, leaves are falling off. Is it anywhere near hot air vent, like furnace vent, or something hot, warm, refrigerator, or something that's throwing heat onto it?
No, it's in the front window and it faces west.
Okay, that should be fine. What about the vent that's at the window blowing up onto the plant from below?
No.
Right?
No.
Yeah, because I use those vent deflectors to make sure there's no hot air blowing on my plants. Okay, Christmas cactus loves to be outside all summer, loves to be in a fairly, you know, sunny location. We never water them. They don't need much water when they're outside. And then usually I leave them outside until they've had a frost. They're fine. They're pretty tough plants. So a light frost will help them set buds. So temperature and light levels set the buds, flower buds, on Christmas cactus. The fact that it's dropping leaves would indicate that something has happened to make it very unhappy. Typically, hot temperatures, too much water is the more common one that will make it just drop. So no water. Make sure it's not sitting in a saucer of water. Keep it in that sunny window. Turn it every now and then and just keep an eye on it. There's really nothing you can do. I mean, you can pull it out of the pot and see, are the roots all rotted? I mean, that's why Christmas cactus lose leaves, is from too much water usually.
Okay.
All right?
Thanks very much for the call there, Colleen. And oh my goodness, we're in our last minute of runway.
Might be a little, yes. Yeah. Whew.
There we are.
I get to breathe. You
yeah, you do.
I want to eat scones.
You're going to. We're going to get about 45 seconds away from eating scones, Charlie Dobbin.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. You're such a good baker.
Well, you know what? I like to do it.
Thanks.
And I like to share it with you.
And thanks for getting up at the crack of dawn to do it this morning.
My pleasure.
Good man. It's been really fun being here.
Yeah.
I have to do it again. I'm going to come back to this area visiting my good friend Mary Lumbers.
Yep.
And sitting in this studio with my other good friend Dean Holland.
Beautiful.
And doing the garden show.
Yeah, we're going to do it anytime. You can come up here anytime you
thank
like.
Thank you very much. Well, thanks everybody. Thanks Owen for handling it all back at the ranch there in Toronto. Good man. He's quite talented. Great callers, everybody. Keep it up. See you next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.